listening to the sound of Lepeti Shah, a renowned Egyptian cover band whose heyday was in the 1960s and 70s. The band has started playing again, and a new documentary looks at how they captured the freewheeling spirit of the times. In this episode of Crossroads, a podcast from the National's Review section, we're joined by the director, Sharif Nakla. What inspired you to make this film about Lepeti Shah?
Well, it basically started while I was going through my stepfather's photo albums from the past. When I was about 12 years old or something, about 14 years old, I used to go through his photo album and see these pictures of him being in a band and all these people around. And I used to ask him, you know, what country is this? Where you were in a band? And what kind of music did you play? And everything he told me seemed so alien to me and to the country that we were living in, to Egypt. And that has always stayed in the back of my mind. And then he had told me, of course, that the band didn't exist any longer. And so when they decided to do a reunion, much later, when I was about, you know, when I was 15 years after I started looking at these albums, I thought that I should go ahead and do a documentary about it because, first of all, I had already started becoming a filmmaker, and I'm very close to the source of the story. Wegdi, my stepfather, he is the leader of Lepeti Shah.
At the band's heyday, is it possible to get a sense of just how popular they were in terms of how many people attended their gigs, how many times they performed, etc., etc.?
They started getting big, I think, in 68. Didn't take them long to get big, and they stayed as a very famous band all the way till, let's say, the late 70s. So they worked really up the matinees for quite a long period of time in Alexandria and in a place called El Maryland, which is a park in Cairo. With those numbers, I was just telling you, like 5,000, around average 4,000, 5,000 people. Not to mention the exclusive nightclubs that they play in at night, which were not necessarily about the quantity of the people, but more about I don't want to say the quality of the people, but let's just say that they were just high profile people, high society people that could make it into these clubs. Okay, I just want to talk about the situation in Egypt in the 60s when the band was formed, which was 1967. This was not long after the Arab-Israeli War. It's a particularly traumatic time for the country. Do you think that the band was almost a type of reaction to this? The whole country was in a shocked state of defeat, and they had a lot of steam that they needed to blow. They were very frustrated, and they needed something to gather around, something positive and something healthy. So Shah happened to be at the right place at the right time. And of course, they were at the right level to sustain their fan base starting from that point. Even though that when they began playing, they didn't have any financial support from their families to pursue this band career, or even get paid properly from their venues, as the whole country was in a state of depression. And the nightlife was very rusty. So they had to work their way up, and they thought that yes, they're in defeat, but we are young, we are in our prime, and we are musicians, and we want to make music.
and we can spread the music. And so they did that. They worked hard, they practiced hard, and they starved, they suffered until they managed to reach their small venues and go to the bigger venues. And then they became this source of romanticism and just pleasurable exhaust for letting out the steam.
Le Petit Chat were really big. Their heyday was the 60s and 70s, okay? So you mentioned there that looking through these photos, the Egypt of this time seemed to you a very alien sort of place. Why is that?
Well, because the pictures that you'd see, the people that would be inside these pictures, they're not just their fashion, but their general etiquette, the way they carry themselves, the women and their freedom of sort of to wear whatever they feel like, and you could sense a great harmony between men and women at the time, not this very strong disconnect that you see nowadays. And it's really like looking at a different country, because I mean, I don't want to say negative things about Cairo with the way things are these days. But the culture is in the cultural world is in trouble. we are in trouble, and the cinema industry are in trouble, and the music industry is in trouble. The art scene as a whole is in trouble, especially if you compare it to this artistic level that was around during the 60s and the 70s. And there is a sense that there's an aura that has disappeared. And all you really need to do is take a look at a difference between a movie that came out now and a movie that came out then, or music that came out that's around now and an integrity of music that was around then. Or at least even the interest or tolerance for an audience to listen to a westernized band. I mean, after all, they were a westernized band. They weren't seen as an evil band because they played foreign music.
The band are touring again now, correct? So I just want to ask you, one of the things we hear a lot about the 70s is that it's considered almost a golden era. Why do you think people are so nostalgic for these years?
Because the love between people is not the same as it was back then. When they talk about the golden era, I think they're talking about a level of respect and of loving one another that is just not around anymore in Egypt. You know, just when you go through your day-to-day life or your social life or anything, everything, we are like, I mean, our generation are used to it. We don't know anything else. I mean, I'm 35 years old, and I can tell you that there's a lot of difference between what Egypt is now and when I was a kid, 12. But to imagine what it could have been like in the 70s, when I talk to these people and they tell me their stories, or even when I even see them deal with each other, talk with each other, it's a whole different level of love and self-respect and respecting one another. And that's why I wanted to investigate what's the big deal about this romantic era? Is it just that women can wear skirts and no one would harm them? Is it because the country was unified, whether they're unified by defeat or unified by victory in war, but they were unified. And when you watch this film now in Egypt, especially as somebody who doesn't know much about that era, it really feels that you have been sort of robbed of a culture that you have only heard about, but you didn't really get to feel. And it's this kind of, it's a bittersweet feeling, because you know that those were hard times, And within those hard times, when the band really changed the scene in Egypt, they managed to push through it. So there's hope. There's hope that even though they had nothing, all they had was willpower, a strong fellowship, and talents that they used wisely. So in that, there's hope. But we are going through a rough time right now, and all these, you know, all these changes that we've been going through should not be seen as, you know, as a degradation to our culture, where we know that, hey, they've had even worse times back in the 60s. So if they could push through it, maybe we can.
To read more about Le Petit Chat on the documentary, visit thenational.ae. Thank you for listening.